Hello, hello, hello. This is Cortina Jackson, and you are listening to What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind. I am so excited. I've been away for a little while, but it's because I have stumbled upon some new acting opportunities. And so I'm very, very excited because for the past 2 months, I mentioned that I would appear in a movie called Beneath the Scar. That movie wrapped up. There was an amazing red carpet event for it. And from there, I was offered another role into a film that we're doing called The Family. In this film, I get to play alongside my own son. And so he'll play my son in the movie. And it's been so exciting as we have been filming that that movie that is to come. Also, I auditioned and was chosen for 2 short films. And so back to back, I have been filming these 2 short films. One was called The Things We Do for Love. I'm very excited because I play the mom to a young lady who has an eating disorder. And she has this eating disorder because of things experienced in her family between myself and her father. And so it was so interesting. It really pushed me to some limits I've not experienced yet. And so I filmed that and another one called The Drug Test. So that was just amazing. That took up all of March and April. And here I am at the end of April and just auditioned for another role. And I'm about to appear in a movie called Hell Express. So I will be filming The Family and Hell Express for the next couple of months. And I tell you what an amazing ride it's been into this new acting experience that I've had. I'm just very excited. And so I've been away for a little while. And so now you see for very good reason. But I'm excited, you guys, because upcoming, I've got some amazing guests to bring before you. I want you to stay tuned. I've got people from all walks of life. We're going to talk to an individual who was incarcerated. I'm hoping to get another guest. We'll be talking about some horror movies. So me and my son will do a segment where we do a Siskel and Ebert. If anybody remembers those guys, they used to critique the movies. And so me and my son will be discussing our favorite scary movies, and we'll do a couple of segments on that. And some more great guests coming up, speaking on domestic violence, just all kind of topics. You just never know what you're going to get on somebody's mind. And so on my mind today, I will be reading from my second novel. This is the second book called The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest. This is the second book, and what I am going to do is a trilogy. I'm going to write one more in what I'm calling the Hell series. And the reason I'm writing these books, and they appear so, I guess, kind of scary and graphic, is because I actually had a vision of hell. I was going through my own hell on earth, and I wrote the first book based on things I actually saw in a dream, in vision. And I'm going to be sharing that later on, probably in a video of things I saw in hell. But you can read some of those visions in the book. So I actually had visions about this book as well. And this book details the life of a serial killer. But first, you see a graphic introduction into what's brewing in hell, what's causing this to spill out onto the earth, and why people are doing some of the ghastly things that they are seeing. So as you listen, I urge you, don't fear what you hear, because this just kind of gives you a glimpse into why such evil abounds on earth. It all started in hell. And this according to my visions and dreams. So stay tuned as I read the introduction of The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest. And make sure you stay tuned for some other great guests and other great shows. Thank you so much for being with me. And make sure you follow me on my website at www.cortinajackson.com. Got some more acting coming up. Got my third book in this trilogy coming out. and some wonderful activity that's just going on in my life. So I urge you to keep up with me there. And also all of my social media, Facebook, Cortina Jackson, or you can type in On Earth As It Is In Hell, and you will find my author website. Follow me on Instagram at Miss Tina, that's M-I-S-S, Miss Tina _ the writer, at Twitter at Tina the writer, and on LinkedIn, just type in Cortina Jackson. Make sure you let me know how you heard about me. Thank you again, and stay tuned for The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest. The evocative night air seemed to summon spirits that would later fill the streets with every ghastly deed imaginable. This was, of course, the objective the demons that inhabited the boiling inferno of hell sought to achieve. The non-stop activity and torment in hell brewed over as the evil could not be contained in its already tight confines. The daily influx of souls entering hell caused it to widen and deepen. However, the influx of doomed souls was never enough for the ruler of the underworld. Greed for the annihilation of civilization was sought with a vengeance. Satan hated good. He hated fairness and held total disdain for hope. Thus, he worked day and night to make sure demons were dispatched to earth to continue the cycle of hopelessness, sin, destruction, and death, until all experienced the molting and rotting cesspool of hell of which there was no return. Wrathful demons began to emerge from portals that led from hell to the earth. Their rotting flesh emitted a malodorous stench that sickened the strongest stomach. Their faces were hideous and terrifying to look upon, causing gut-wrenching fear that consumed the soul, rendering a person unable to stand. For the fear alone was torturous, and their deeds were unfathomable. The demons knew their assignment. They would not falter. Otherwise, their fate held the most gruesome torture imaginable. Agony took place continuously. Screaming and begging gained momentum until it swirled into a fiery roar of its own, making it just as painful to hear as the incinerator of fire that was felt, rushing through like a mighty wind, burning and blistering souls in its unavoidable path. Walking through just a section of hell would make any unfortunate visitor experience cataleptic fear, inexplicable pain and sadness. For any measure of peace, love and joy was melted away in the boiling, liquefied sea of forgetfulness, as no one would ever remember happier times. There are numerous divisions of hell, but within those divisions were many sections where the most abhorrent activities took place. Many have heard the saying, "There is a special place in hell for you," and it became a tragic, realized statement. People who entered its confines experienced the most painful and terrifying torture according to their sins on earth, with each section more horrifying than the next. There is a particular section of hell set aside for demons who failed their assignments. This section invoked fear within the feared. Large demons are commanders here and orchestrate punishment upon the vilest demons. Devils ravenously rip and tear the flesh off of its insubordinate demons, consuming their flesh, thus making the devil stronger and more powerful. With their extended fingertips that narrow to a razor-sharp point, they would pick the now exposed veins, tendons, ligaments, intestines, and anything else that could be pulled out and separated. The devils gleefully play with the demon's stringy entrails, like an unwound ball of yarn intertwined between playful fingers.
The demons are dangled off the ground, held up by fibrous guts that had not yet been sliced through. However, the tissues would eventually give way, leaving the demon to fall to the ground, with ghouls feasting upon the bloody mess that spilled out. Once there was nothing left but a bloody mound, the devils would allow voracious dogs to lap at whatever remained, only leaving the head. This did not mean the end of the demon, for they never had the luxury of meeting their death. The dogs and ghouls regurgitate the hot, putrid mass, and the commander devil restores life to the demon. They relive this moment of torture repeatedly. The only break is the rush of burning flames bellowing throughout hell, roasting everything in its path. The heat causes the skin to bubble, charring it to a crisp, only enough for the torture to begin again. The pain is grueling, for the demons experience the pain in the same manner as a human. Every nerve, pain receptor, and synapse is intact and magnified 100 times, so they understood how failure and defeat really feel. The eyeballs of the demon are pierced, gouged out, and squeezed between the fingers of the devil. Every now and then, Satan himself would allow a demon a chance at redemption, and was allowed to go back on assignment. However, the demon was admonished not to fail again, or the torture would be worse. No one or nothing escaped hell by death, and it was a cycle rebirth of soul-trembling persecution, causing all to beg for death. Therefore, when Satan spoke, "Do on earth as it is in hell," demons, imps, evil spirits, and the like complied without hesitation. They clawed their way from the depths of hell, showing no mercy when entering the body and mind of all creatures upon the earth. When an afflicted person called upon the name of Jesus for help, the evil entities experienced a piercing pain through their eardrums, like a scalding dagger sliding easily through gelatin. The excruciating pain drove them away, trembling in fear and pain. Yet they would wait for just a little break in faith so that they could return, never giving up. The consideration of facing an angry master was a sufficient impetus. However, if a person continued to call Jesus and eagerly sought him in their trouble and despair, the evil spirit had to leave, for no evil can stand against the power of God. Everything bows and honors him, even diabolical evil. For God is all powerful, and Satan and his henchmen know that they cannot win against him. Even with sheer terror of failing an assignment and returning to the anger of Satan, demons feared Christ most of all. As much as they wanted to win the battle, they could not stand against the power of God. So the demons operated through anything and anyone who would turn against God. People on earth were the perfect vessels because they experience failures in life that make them question anything good. What was good anymore? It seemed that the good guy finishes last, evil always wins, and failure is prevalent. With the minds of people so consumed, disappointed and distraught, evil spirits would find willing participants who go against what is right, what is just, what is righteous, and what is godly, thus making the evil spirit's assignment easily fulfilled. There arose from the very pits of hell the demon known as Maniac. This demon brought about death through homicide, genocide, murder, and any heinous act resulting in death against another. Maniac was the ruler of legions, for his reign resulted in many frenzied subordinates willing to do his handiwork. Their merriment was disturbing. The more creative and heinous the death, the more the maniacal beings delighted in their work, prideful at what they created. They laughed hysterically, clapped their hands, and stomped around with the most menacing grins that seemed to be painted wide on their faces, a wretched sight to behold. The roles in hell were delegated, and the assignments were clearly distinguished. Portals continued to open and close like a sphincter, squeezing out demons that clamored their way to the openings, waiting to be pushed through to the earth. They spilled out onto the earth's surface, eagerly looking for souls to enter, waiting for vulnerabilities, searching for breaks in faith, and creating strongholds to keep their position on earth secured. Their destination was far-reaching. The effects of their atrocities spilled out and ruined lives. The minions assigned under Maniac took their role very seriously, for if they planned their debauchery just right, they could take countless amounts of lives while they were yet in their sins, which would result in immediate assignment to hell. These demons planned their attacks carefully, hoping that the strategy paid huge dividends of death and destruction, a victory in hell. A feat of this magnitude pleased Maniac and kept the assigned demons moving throughout the earth. They saw people of all kinds and in many different states of mind. Anyone could be used as vessels. There are many people who could be easily influenced. Some due to unfortunate circumstances in their lives. Others who had everything to live for but wanted more of what life had to offer. There were greedy, power-hungry, poor, rich, lazy, curious, Christians and non-Christians. It did not matter. If their heart and mind could be penetrated and controlled, the demons tried their best to make an impact that meant costly consequences in the lives of the host. The demons used the body like a puppet, and when the person was no longer useful, they quickly destroyed and discarded the person, leaving tragedy, dismay, or death in its place. Just as quickly as the demons came, they left, moving on to the next evil deed, so their reign on earth would be long. They set the groundwork for other demons to fulfill their assignments. This second wave of demons swooped in for the carnage left behind by the advancing guard. Carnage that took the form of depression, distrust, anger, fear, hate, and all other forms of defeat in people's lives. All leading up to the big day when Satan would come and rule the world. For there was an evil plan to destroy everything and everyone. The day when Satan would reveal himself to the earth for all to see. If everything went as planned and there was not enough praying people left on earth, there would be nothing anyone could do to stop him. And the people claimed by the evil forces would be under Satan's hoofed feet in hell, where he would rule over them for an eternity. A team of ghastly demons gathered just before their ascension into the earthly realm. One of them spoke. I have my eyes on a special person. He will be born of meager conditions. We will stay with him and mold him to be our soldier, for his influence will affect many. Just then, Maniac stepped in, overhearing the plan. If you fail, he spoke, I will torture you myself. His snake-like eyes narrowed as his forked tongue darted in and out of his swollen lips. He tasted the air as his appetite for evil made him ravenous for more malevolence. He let out a shrill scream that reminded those under his rule that they could not come back empty-handed. They all fell to their knees, weak with fear. Do not fail, he reminded them once more, angry at the very thought of Jesus and his angels winning this battle. Just like all things living in existence, the horrific events set to occur had to be birthed. A process that came from conception to birth, to growth, until it was manifested, complete with all of life's lessons. This evil was to be vomited onto the earth, so that its stench and infectious sickness would spread to people who were susceptible to its vileness. This evil decay would be the very demons under the tutelage of Maniac. They were confident, evil, and unflinching as they set their sights on a master plan, sure to bring the earth to its knees. It was destined to lead to annihilation, aided by a nation that hopefully forgot God. The conception began in hopes that something more sinister would be birthed in the future. "We will not fail, Master," the demons promised, as they began to plan out their depravity. And in an instant, legions were formed, and they quickly spilled out onto the earth to begin their reign. Unsuspecting people's souls were penetrated, and they began to partake in deeds considered demonic, for human against human depravity was unfathomable, and attempts to find peace in a corrupt world was futile. Evil abounded, and fear kept the masses from speaking out, and the sounds of silence were the loudest.